Thank you for listening to the Calvary Chapel podcast. My name is Jonathan Downs, and I am the pastor of Calvary Chapel in Canberra, Australia. I'm delighted that you are listening to this message, and my prayer is that this word will bless your life. If you'd like to submit a prayer request, or if you are interested in a personal Bible study, we would love to hear from you. Please visit our website at www.calvarychapel.com.au to get in contact with us, or if you want to find out more about our church. Thanks for joining us, and let's go to the Word of God.
Amen. We serve a risen Savior. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Amen. Take your Bibles, go to 1 Peter chapter 3. If you listen fast, I promise to preach fast. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. 1 Peter 1 verse 3 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, everybody say mercy. How many people are thankful for the mercy of God? How many people are thankful? Anybody who's not thankful, you obviously didn't need mercy. You're obviously so good. I'm thankful. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth. New birth into a living hope. That's powerful right there. He gave us a new birth into a living hope. How did He do it? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because of the resurrection, I want to tell you today, we have a living hope. We have been born into a living hope. That tells me, Brother Leon, we didn't always have a living hope. But through Jesus Christ, He has given us a new birth into a living hope because of the resurrection. Paul said this, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, everybody say, but not in despair. Oh, we are troubled on every side. Can we read this together? Church, can we read it together right there on the screen? 2 Corinthians 4 verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. I'm missing my family this weekend. They're all at the youth camp. It was Good Friday, but it was a sad Friday at my house. It was just me and the dog. In fact, on Friday, I did get to go out to a farm and helped a little bit on the farm. But yesterday, just home with Benson, and he was a good friend. Dog's a man's best friend. But I'm missing Thomas because if I ever say to Thomas, I say, how was your day? And if he got to go to a swimming carnival or he got to do something fun, he would say, Dad, it was the best day ever. You know, I thought that would make a great title for an Easter Sunday message. The best day ever. Lord, we thank You for Your word today. We thank You for everybody that's here. Lord, let faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Lord Jesus, do a work in our lives that only You can do. Lord, for You are risen, You are in this place today. You are alive, You are speaking today to every life and every heart. Lord God, I pray that hope would be dispersed through Your word today. Lord God, that we would leave this place different than we came in. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Amen. You may be seated. The best day ever. Amen. Happy Resurrection Sunday. It is the best day ever. I want you to understand today that many people will flock to churches not completely understanding why they're even in church. Many people will go to church, believe it or not, to be seen, to make sure they turn up on the two days that you go to church in Australia, Christmas Day and Easter. They don't completely understand. Many people will be celebrating a Savior who once was, a good man who died. But today here, we are not celebrating what was. We celebrate today what is. Because of the resurrection, you and I have a new birth into a living hope. And that's why I can preach today that the day that Jesus rose again from that grave was the best day ever. The reason that we can sing a song that there's nobody like Jesus is because Christianity begins where a lot of religions end. Our Savior, He rose from the dead. And He didn't, listen, He didn't just conquer death for Himself. He didn't even conquer death for Himself. It wasn't about Him on the cross that day. It was about you and I. And I want to tell somebody today, when He was on the cross, you and I were on His mind. He went to that cross for you and I to pay the price for our sins. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. The story of Jesus in many people's minds as He hung on that cross, as they were faced with the picture and the reality of what they were seeing, there was one thing on their mind, is that the story of Jesus was over. I want you to put yourself in the disciples' shoes today, just for a moment, as they're standing at that cross watching Jesus take His last breath. They didn't understand what was being accomplished like we do today. They didn't know what the next chapter would hold. But Jesus had told them multiple times. It was either they weren't listening, or either they didn't understand, or either they were in denial. But Jesus had told them already. He said, I must undergo. It's my bodyguard. Jesus said, I must undergo great suffering. He told them, I'm going to be rejected of the elders. He told them, the chief priests are going to reject me. The scribes are going to reject me, and I'm going to be killed. And He even told them, I'm going to rise again 3 days. He told them that. But either they didn't understand, or they weren't listening, or they're in denial. And as they saw Jesus on the cross, it rocked their world. Can you imagine the feelings? They'd been with Jesus. The 3 years of His ministry, as He hung on the cross, the feelings of disappointment, the feelings of doubt. They would have been thinking, is He who He said He was? They would have been questioning God. They would have been having some fear, a fear about a future without Jesus. Perhaps they would have even felt angry. But there is one thing for certain, as they saw Jesus on the cross, they would have said the story of Jesus was over. Pontius Pilate, he handed Jesus over to be crucified. Why? To try and keep the peace. And he organized the tomb to be sealed. There was a triple lock on that tomb. They rolled the rock in place. They sealed it. And then they put some guards in front of that. And Pontius Pilate, as he looked at that seal and those guards there, he was thinking, you know what? It is certain that the story of Jesus is over. As they rolled the stone into place, as they sealed it, as they put the guards, they would have said, there it is. The chapter of Jesus is closed. But then we have Mary. And for every mother that's here today, put yourself in Mary's shoes. The anguish of seeing her son suffer. It would have come completely as a surprise to her, because she would have watched as people opposed her son, Jesus. She watched as opposition grew. Then the enemies of Jesus moved against Him. And Mary, no doubt, like every mother in this room, Mary would have given her own life to save her son's life. She stood there right till the bitter end, not wanting Him to face those painful moments alone. She was there. She stood by the cross. And she would have been filled with despair, as she was certain, as she saw Jesus face that excruciating death, she was certain that the life of Jesus, the story of Jesus was over. No doubt she would have been filled with despair. Then Peter, everybody say Peter. As he saw Jesus dying on the cross, he knew that not only was Jesus over, he was thinking, my ministry is over. He had denied Jesus 3 times. He'd even promised Jesus. He said, listen, everybody else may deny you, but I won't deny you. And here he is. He denies Jesus. He lost his ministry. That was his life for three years. And that cock crows. He's denied Jesus 3 times. Now he's an onlooker as Jesus dies on the cross. And Peter's there and he's facing that reality as he looks what's happening on the cross and he's thinking, surely the story of Jesus is over. Like Mary, surely the story of Jesus is over. Like Pontius Pilate with the triple lock guard on that tomb, surely the story of Jesus was over. And that's why it was a dark Friday. And that's why it was a dark Saturday. Jesus' followers were inconsolable. Their leader hung naked on a cross, beaten and bloody, gasping for his last breath. His body then laid in a tomb, a stone rolled into the place, and news spread that it was a certain, undeniable death. Hell celebrated. Jesus' followers mourned. They were inconsolable. On Friday, there was a dark despair that blanketed the city. No one could see what we can see. You see, today, brothers and sisters, if we look back at the cross, we don't completely understand because we have a different perspective. We have hindsight. But they couldn't see that Sunday was coming. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, a lot can change in 3 days. A lot can change in 3 days. It was a dark Friday. It was a dark Saturday. But let me tell you, a lot can change in 3 days. And I want to tell you today, it still rings true. A lot can change in just a short time. Why? Because we have been birthed into a living hope. You may be in despair today, but I want to tell you, you have hope because of Jesus Christ. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. And if we look at just the cross, we have a martyr. And if we look at just the empty tomb, Brother Jason, we've just got a lot of questions. Where did he go? If it ended with the empty tomb, we've got question after question. And even then we say, how can we even have a living faith? How can we even have a living hope if we have a dead Savior? And so there is no doubt that Friday there was despair. Saturday there was despair. But on that first Easter Sunday, the best day ever, when everybody thought that the story had been written and the story was over, let me tell you, the most powerful chapter was yet to be written. Somebody ought to get excited today. At least you can give me a nod today. The most powerful chapter was yet to be written. Who has the final say? We sing a song around here. Who has the final say? God has the final say. And I don't care what the devil said to you. I want to tell you, Jesus is alive, and the most powerful chapter in your life is yet to be written. We have a living hope. I don't care what the doctor has said. The most powerful chapter in your life is yet to be written. I don't care what you got yourself tangled up in, the sin of this world. I want to tell you, the most powerful chapter of your life is yet to be written. I want to tell you, we have a living hope because of the resurrection of Jesus. Come on, let's praise him this morning. Hallelujah. We have a living hope. You see, the beauty of Easter is that they went back to the tomb and they couldn't find his body there. The stone had been rolled away. Jesus humiliated. He didn't just conquer hell. He humiliated hell. He overpowered the grave. He caused evil to bow its knee. He took our sin on himself so we could be forgiven. Let me tell you, the tomb was an incomplete headline. Sunday is coming. And let me tell you, whatever headlines somebody's put on your life, I want to tell you today, Sunday is coming. Whatever headlines you have, you know, we don't even need people to put headlines on our life. We put bad headlines on our own lives. But I want to tell somebody today, you may feel like it's Friday, you may feel like it's Saturday, you may feel like it's dark, but I've come to tell somebody, Brother Victor, Sunday is coming, and we have a resurrection, we have a living hope because of Jesus Christ. I want you to leave this place hopeful today, full of hope because of the resurrection. Hope is like oxygen to our lives. As much as you need oxygen to live, you need hope to face tomorrow. That's why we can sing, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. If you've got sickness in your body, you can face tomorrow. If you've you're facing in your life right now, you can face tomorrow, because we have a hope. Matthew chapter 28, verse 2 to 4. This place, I tell you today, this place is a house of miracles. There's so many miracles here that they can tell you that Jesus delivered them from all sorts of things, from addiction, from all sorts of terrible sin, all sorts of things that had gripped their lives. This is a house of miracles. That's why we come every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday in a Christian church. The reason we celebrate on Sunday is because Jesus rose again on a Sunday. And so you ought to come to church every Sunday ready to praise Him, because He resurrected you. Matthew 28, 2 to 4. Behold, there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door. I really like this verse. This is really cool. It would have been enough just to write that the angel of the Lord descended and came back and rolled back the stone. But you know what? The angel sat on it. It would have been a big enough surprise to see the stone rolled away. But the angel's just sitting there. I believe that speaks of complete triumph. Just sitting on that stone. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. I tell somebody today, the resurrection changes everything. It changes everything. Because the victim did not remain the victim. The victim became the victor. That's why Jesus says, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, that next verse, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys to hell and death. If you could throw that next slide up there. He said, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of hell and death. That's powerful right there, church. That's powerful right there. And he said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. It may be Friday, but Sunday is coming, church. Sunday is coming. You ought to hold on to the hope that the resurrection brings. You see, because of the resurrection, there is power in Jesus' name. We said he has no rival. He has no rival. Because of the resurrection, there is power in the name of Jesus. Drug addiction must bow to the name of Jesus. Alcohol addiction must bow to the name of Jesus. Sickness must bow to the name of Jesus. All things must bow to the name of Jesus. Let me tell you, whatever's in your life today, it has to bow at the name of Jesus. You don't have to leave this place the same way that you came in. You can leave this place with hope, because I'm not suffering from anything that the resurrection can't fix. Somebody say amen. Amen. I'm not suffering from anything that the resurrection can't fix. And so what is this hope that we have? What is this hope? The Bible says that we should be ready to tell others of the hope that we have. What is this hope? Do we sit here today thinking, you know, we've got it all sorted out, no problems, life is bliss, we're, you know, a bed of roses? No, the reality is that it's not that we don't go into low places. It's not that as Christians that things don't get dark. It's not that as Christians that we don't go through the valley. It's not as Christians that we don't go through times of pain. It's not that we will never go through times of fear. It's not that as Christians there will never be times of doubt and that we will never have questions. But our hope is this: in the midst of every doubt, in the midst of every question, in the midst of every valley, we have a living hope. If somebody says to you, what is this hope that you have? Why do you worship Jesus the way that you worship? Why have you given your life to serve him? Is it that everything is perfect? You say, no, it's not that I haven't had my dark days. It's not that I haven't had my questions. It's not that I haven't had my doubts. But in every circumstance I face, I have hope. I have a living hope. Why? Because it may be Friday, but Sunday's coming. I'm going to see a turnaround. And so today my message is simple. You may have walked in hopeless, but you can leave filled with hope today. That is my mission. That's my mission, that you would leave this place full of a living hope. Mary left the cross. She was able to see that her son's death was not the end. His resurrection was the cure for her despair. Can you imagine what she saw? Peter, who was in despair at the cross on that Friday, was in despair at the crucifixion, but he discovered that his ministry was not over. Even though he had failed, even though he had fallen, even though he had denied Jesus three times, his ministry was not over. In fact, his ministry would go on to be even greater than it ever was before. Because not long after the resurrection, Brother Leon, Peter would walk on that day of Pentecost, and he would walk and preach the first gospel message, to which they would reply, "What must we do?" And Peter would stand and preach the gospel, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Peter thought it was all over, but you know what? 2,000 years later, we're still quoting his message. Whoo! We're still preaching it today. It's recorded in our Bibles. Peter's message, as he saw Jesus on the cross, he thought it was all over. But he, as he saw the resurrected Savior, not only was his ministry resurrected, but his hope came to life again. You see, today, if you've got sin in your life, you can experience a resurrection. In Romans 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord." I want to encourage somebody today. If you're in sin, you ought to repent of your sin today. Turn away from that lifestyle that you've been living. Turn away from those things that you've been doing that don't displease, that displease God, and repent and turn your life to Jesus. It's the beginning of a new life. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8 and 9. "For God," look at this verse, it's part of our text today. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, hath shined in our hearts." If you can relate to any of this that I'm reading today, give me an amen. "To give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Amen. "We have trouble, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but we are not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body." I want the living Christ to be manifest in my body as well. I want to have that hope. And maybe today you're like Peter, and you no longer feel worthy to be used by God. Maybe you thought that it was all over for you. Maybe you've abandoned God, and you're even convinced today that God has abandoned you. Let me tell you, maybe you're at your wit's end. Maybe you're at the end of it all, and you say, "I just can't make it. I just don't know what to do." Maybe you've tried everything, and here you are. You've tried everything in this world, and you say, "Pastor, I've tried it all, and I just can't be satisfied. There's nothing that can fill the void in my life." Maybe somebody here today is bound by addictions. Maybe somebody is lost in sin. Let me tell you, be certain of this. God will have the final say in your life. Don't let the devil condemn you to hell. Don't let the devil get in your ear and say, "You're finished. Your ministry is finished. You're too far gone. You've sinned too much. You've done too bad of things. You said this and you said that." Let me tell you today, be certain that God has the final say in your life. And what will that word be? He'll have the final word. Be certain it will be a powerful word. It'll be a word of restoration. It'll be a word of renewal. I want to tell somebody today, because of the resurrection, it was the best day ever. And the day I resurrected was the best day ever. The day that I was born again and have that living hope was the best day ever. If the musicians could get ready to come, I'll tell somebody today, God will have the final word. The devil does not have the final word in your life. It may be a dark Friday, it may be a dark Saturday, but God has the final say. Why don't you turn your life over to God today? Why don't you allow Him to resurrect every part of your life? It's not that we don't have our doubts and fears, and it's not that we don't go through valleys, but in the midst of it all, Sister Virginia, we have hope. I'm thankful that I've got hope. We live in a world full of hopelessness, but because of the resurrection, I have a living hope. There's a wonderful painting. You can look it up on the internet. I'll get them to throw it on the screen. It is an artist's rendering of this painting of a dungeon scene in a castle. You can see there that it is something that you would probably expect to see in the medieval England. But there in the middle of the room is a chessboard. And in this picture, which is entitled Checkmate, the artist paints a picture of a young man playing chess with the devil. The young man is despondent. The young man is in despair. He's got his hand on his head. He doesn't know what the next move is. No doubt there's terror. His hand is there on his forehead. He is seated opposite the devil. And the devil there is with a smug grin on his face. Understanding a little bit about chess, how many people like to play chess? It's a great game if you've got time. I'm not even good at chess. I'm not even an average player. My kids can beat me. But each player has a collection of pieces. You've got your pawns, your bishops, your knights. You've got your rooks. And the single most powerful piece on the board, what's the most powerful piece on the chessboard? The queen. You're wrong. Just like home, brother. The queen is the most powerful. Don't forget that. A lot of husbands like to say, oh, I'm the head of the house. Just remember, the wife is the neck that turns the head. The queen is the most powerful piece on the board. But without exception, the whole focus of the game revolves around the king. The game is played with the object of capturing your opponent's king. If you can play in such a way that you have backed the king into a corner and the king cannot make any moves without being in that place where he could be taken. When you've captured the king and the king can make no more moves, what does the opponent say? Checkmate. There was a man who went into a museum, and he walked past that board, and he sat down on the chair. As often as you go into museums, you'll find chairs where people can sit and look at the painting. And this man just happened to be a chess champion, and he studied the board, because the board, the painting says checkmate. So he begins to look at all the pieces on the board, and as he begins to study each of the pieces, he begins to realize that the whole painting is a lie. Entitled above the painting, that is a picture of a man playing chess with the devil, are the words checkmate. And of course, the whole object of the game is to get the king into a place where he cannot make any more moves. And this man sat on that chair as he studied all the pieces. If he was like me, he would have just walked past and thought, oh, that's an interesting painting. But the chessboard captures his attention, and he looks at all the pieces, and he says, you know what? He begins to cry out, it's a lie. That painting is a lie. It is a complete lie. as he said, I've studied all the pieces. I can see for one thing that is certain, the king still has one more move. It was not checkmate. And maybe you're here today and the devil has told you, checkmate. You got no more moves. Maybe like the devil has said to Peter, checkmate. Maybe like the devil has said to Mary, checkmate. Maybe the devil's come to you and said, you know what? It's all over for you. You have no hope. But I've come to remind you today, like that chess champion reminded everybody as he looked at the painting. I want to tell you, it's a lie. Because the king has one more move. Will you let the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords move in your heart today? Will you let him dispel the lies of hopelessness? Will you let the King of Kings dispel the despair that has crept in your life? I want to tell you today, because of the resurrection, we have a living hope in Jesus Christ. We have hope. I've come to tell somebody today, it's not checkmate. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us, who died for us. We have a living hope in Jesus. Let's all stand to our feet today. Let's lift our hands. Let's worship him today. Oh, Jesus, we love you. Oh, God. I tell you, the devil's been telling some people, you may as well give up. The devil's been telling you there's no way out of this. The devil's been telling you the doctor can't help you. The devil's been telling you the bank can't help you. Let me tell you, none of them can help you, but Jesus can help you. Clap your hands to the Lord today. Whatever the devil's been telling you today, I'm here to tell you, it's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. The king has one more move. Whew, he was the silent lamb on the cross. But when he rose from the dead, he stepped out of that tomb, the lion of the tribe of Judah, roaring. Everybody say roaring. Roaring with resurrection power. It was the best day ever. The best day ever. It was the best day ever, church. And you know, there is Mary, this woman. Jesus said unto her, it's not Mary, the mother of Jesus. It's another type of Mary. Another Mary. And he says, woman, why are you weeping? Who are you seeking? And she says, he was the gardener. And Jesus said to her, sir. And she said to him, sorry, sir, if thou hast bought, where have you taken him? Tell me where you have laid Jesus, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. He called her name, Mary. And she turned herself and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. She doesn't know who it is. Why are you crying? But then he says her name. And let me tell you, Jesus is still calling people's names today. Jesus is still calling your name today. Let me tell you, the resurrection was the best day ever because we got hope that day, hope over every circumstance. You know, Mary's life was completely changed. Her whole destiny was changed. Jesus called her name. And you know, Mary races away from that tomb. She races away and she becomes the very first evangelist. So I thought Peter was. Mary was the first evangelist. She ran away from as she saw Jesus resurrected. She ran away and she went and told everybody about the resurrection. And my message today is just a repeat of that same message. I've come to tell you that it's not over. It's not checkmate. It's not finished. Jesus is alive. I'm echoing the words of Mary. He's alive. It was the best day ever. I want to tell you, we have hope because of Jesus. We have hope because he is risen. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. We have a hope because of Jesus. It was the best day ever. You don't have to be in despair. You don't have to be lost another day. You don't have to live another hour in sin. There is hope because of the resurrection. That is the message of Easter. You can go eat all the Easter eggs you want. That's got nothing to do with it. Rabbits? No, they weren't at the cross. The message of Easter is simply this. We have a living hope because of Jesus. Woo! Clap your hands to the Lord today. It was an empty tomb then. But today, what does it mean for us? Because of the empty tomb, we have a house full of hope. I hope you can find somebody today and tell them of the hope that you have. Say, yeah, I went to church. It's Easter Sunday. What do you expect? But you know what? When I went to church, Jesus was there. He's not dead. He's alive. You say, how do you know? You say, well, I experienced him in my life. I experienced his presence. He walks with me and he talks with me. And you know what? I